That's amazing. 2,000 decisions to follow Christ. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you now, dear Lord. And Father, we just want to be, dear God, in your word, dear Lord. Exactly where you want us to be, dear Lord. Help us, Father God, to grow towards you, Lord, each day. That, Lord, we take the time that we do exactly what we're supposed to do, Father. That we see, dear Lord, that you have us right where you want us. And God, you can use us in any situation and circumstance. All we have to do is be on the lookout for you. Lord, thank you for each and every one of these youth, for Leslie, for Trey, for the leaders, everybody who went with them, dear Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for returning them safely, and Father, for blessing their hearts while they were there. Lord, be with us over these next few minutes as we look at your word. Lord, show us how to draw from it, how to tap into the power, Father, that you give us. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. So I opened up right there a little bit with, and the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Look at 5 through 12 with me real quick. He says, the next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them by saying, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The power of the Holy Spirit. When you have accepted Christ, we each receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But some of you will tell me that you feel no different today when you've accepted it. Now, that's a shame, too, because if you're feeling that this morning, that means you're in a little bit of a stale moment in your life. Sometimes when we go to conferences like this, when we go to different things, it invigorates us. When we come to church on Sunday morning, I hope I energize you, is what I do. I hope I send you out prepared for the week. I hope you're as excited as I am. Although I find that hard to believe, but one can hope. Amen. Yes, I try. We try. Who remembers? But I can tell you that it's no different when we don't feel all that powerful. And I'm going to give you an example of it. Who remembers I was not a studious child, Miss Kay? I hate to say it, but who remembers taking a test in school and not studying for it? Oh, everybody's hand went up. Wow. I thought I just had one or two. But do you remember that feeling of walking into the classroom, maybe not so confident in yourself, because, I stayed on the phone talking about Wade. I stayed on the phone all night last night with Teresa, and I didn't get to study for this. Oh, man, this is going to be bad today. We tend to get those things, and you get the point when I'm telling you, when we're walking in, that's how you're feeling. You're feeling defeated already because you're not sure what you're gonna touch. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit is what it is. Think about it now. I know you're thinking, what's he talking about? Hang with me. But when you study for a test and you're confident, how do you feel when you've studied the night before? Superman, right? You're ready. Yeah, you're ready to take that test. You're ready to do it. You're excited. You're prepared. That's the same way God's word works. When we bathe ourselves in God's word, we're ready. We don't feel so defeated. When we spend the time, we're supposed to spend the time every day praying, studying God's word, we're bathed in the Holy Spirit. Amen? You got to believe that. That's the truth. Because then that's what gives you your confidence. That's what gives you your strength to stand. That's what does it, young people. That's what you get it from. I've been to conference after conference, and I feel the same way. I've been to as many as 16,000 we've seen jumping. I've seen people stop and go, I don't think this is safe anymore. Everybody quit. The building's going to come down. But it did it, but it's the strength. Kyle Carter was an inspiration to me in my life at one point, and still is today. He's a wonderful Christian man. But we heard Dr. Tony Evans speak one time. Everybody know what I'm talking about? And Kyle, do you remember this?
I'm sure I do.
Messed up man. You remember? Kyle Carter, I couldn't do it, but Kyle Carter did it perfectly. And I've got to give him the credit for it, because when he did it, it touched my heart. Now I had to write it down, or I didn't have to write it down. I had to find it and look at it is what I had to do. Greg, you'll remember this. There was a lot of men that had gone to Promise Keepers that year. There was a whole group of us, and I believe we had taken a big bus, and everybody had gone over there, and we just came back just like the youth. We were on fire. We were ready to tell everybody about Jesus. And it involves going in. But Dr. Tony Evans took the stage, and he started off with this, and he said, I'm going to make it as simple as I can for you. He says, if you're a messed up man and you have a family, you're going to help make a messed up family. You remember? He says, if you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family, and our messed up family goes to church, then you've messed up family is going to make its contribution to a messed up church. Y'all get where I'm going with this. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church, and your church is supposed to be the light of the neighborhood, then your messed up church is going to make its contribution to a messed up neighborhood. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood, and your neighborhood's part of a city, well, now your messed up neighborhood's going to make a contribution to a messed up city. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood, and your neighbor's part of a city, well, now your neighborhood's going to make a contribution to a messed up state. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that's part of a messed up county, and your county's part of that state, well, now your messed up county's going to make a contribution to a messed up state. Last one, if you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that's part of a messed up county contributing to a messed up state, and your state's part of the country, well, now your messed up state makes a contribution to a messed up nation. That is what we get before us today when we don't stay in God's word. We get all messed up. It's simple when God gives us the direction, and he gives us the tools and everything that we need, and he tells us, just go ye therefore, be disciples. He gives us, he tells us exactly, love your neighbor as yourself. Salvation is found in no one else. No one else. Your time on this earth will come to an end. That will happen. What are you going to do with it to glorify God in your time that you're here? Think about that. How are you going to be that shining, shining light? Look at 13 and 14 right there. See what he says. He says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note of these, that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say. Unschooled and ordinary. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, most of us in here today have an education, amen? Of some sort. Read, write, count. You got it. So now if we're schooled, now we're just down to the ordinary, and we're all ordinary people. Most of us put our pants on one leg at a time. At least I hope. I don't know. But you get what I'm saying. We have the power already. God gives it to us. The Holy Spirit gives us to it. All we have to do is tap into it. And we tap into it ourselves just by spending time in His Word. Peter and John, right there before the Sanhedrin, it gave them so they could speak boldly. So they could speak exactly what they said. Look at what 15 says. He says, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them not to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. They can't deny it. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. And the thing which you see right there is, Leslie said it at the very end, it makes you bold for Jesus. Bold is a strong word. But when you have, just like I talked to you about the test-taking material, when you're studied, when you're prepared, do you believe that most Christians today, if they heard a religious argument going on, and you were a born-again believer, you were a follower of Christ, most of them won't say a word because they're scared they're going to say the wrong thing. They're going to quote the wrong scripture. That's what happens to 90%. That's a fact. We get nervous. We'd like to speak up and say something, but sometimes we don't know our word as well as we should. Oh, is that a shin kicker? It is. I know, I'm sorry. But it's the truth. We have to be planted in God's word. We have to be studying it and applying it to our lives, setting aside time just like Miss Martha Kay talked about. Lord, whatever you may have for me, I've lost 4 friends in 10 days. God, where are you in your word? I need your spirit right now. I need your spirit. I need you to help me. On their release, look at what 23 says. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Be bold today is what I tell you. Be bold when you leave this house. Be bold in your steps this week. Spend time in God's word. Let the scriptures, let it be one verse, whatever. I'm not telling you to read the whole Old Testament. I'm telling you to take it a day. Do what God leads you to do. But saturate yourself with the Holy Spirit. Bathe yourself in the Holy Spirit, and you will be bold. You will be confident in God's word. I'm telling you, when you start talking about 2022, and you ain't got to watch the news, and I don't mean to be a broken record, but I'm telling you, things are happening around us that you better be prepared, that you better be doing exactly what God's asked of us, to be faithful, to follow, to read, to study, to accept. I hope each and every one of us are doing that, because I believe there's coming a time when we're going to have to be bold for Jesus. We're going to have to be bold. If God's laid something on your heart this morning, maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you need to accept Christ for the first time. Whatever that decision may be, I pray that you do it. Our church has been so blessed in so many ways with so many good people, and we have new people coming in, and we just say, thank you, God. I know that there's people sick right now, and I appreciate it. If you do, if you feel bad, it's okay. We understand. We miss you. But let you know we're thinking about you and we're praying for you. Let's close today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your word. God, enable me, Father God, to be bold. Lord, through the studying of your word, through prayer, Lord, help me, God, to be who you've called me to be, just your servant, Lord. But God, enable me. Help me, Father. Lord, help each and every one of us in your house today, as we all just want to do the same thing. Help us keep our eyes on you, dear Lord, to see you move in our lives. To help us, Father God, be bold, to have courage, dear Lord, just like Peter and John did. Before the sin, in front of all the chief priests and all the elders, the pressure that might have been, and they were thinking, we're going to go to jail. But God, you took care of them. You showed up and you showed out big. God, do that with us today. Help us, dear Lord, just to be the people you've called us to be. Father, we love you and we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, for all the wonderful blessings you give us. Lord, thank you for being the God that you are, the God who loves us and takes care of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all your blessings. It is in your most precious and holy name I pray. Amen. If everybody will please stand. Miss Kay's going to come sing. Not Miss Kay. Miss Leslie's going to come sing our hymn of invitation this morning. If the Lord's spoken to you, maybe thank you to all the youth. So glad they had a wonderful time. We hated not having Brother Trey here this morning, but we look forward to him being here next week. And for all those we mentioned on our prayer list this morning, we lift them up to you. Sunday school following right afterwards. Remember, technology meeting has been canceled. And Sister Leslie, if you need to pray at the altar, if decision's been made, come see me today.
Hymn 437, wherever he leads, I'll go. Thank you.
you see the boldness in the room today? You do, don't you? Riley's asked Jesus to come into her heart, and she wants to be baptized. Amen. It's a sweet decision when we see the young people all the way to the older people, and what an example we each can be when we trust Christ. Amen? Amen. We're so excited for Riley, Kathy, Mama, everybody's ecstatic. Y'all come up here and stand with us. Everybody's excited as I am. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, and we'll get this scheduled. That's like four for baptisms that we got coming up, so we got to get busy and get people in the water. Get everybody dunked in here. No. Brother James Carter, you step forward and pray for him. When he's done, y'all come by and hug Miss Riley's neck. Tell her how proud you are of her. Brother James.